the boy learned that the liquid part of the masterwork was called the elixir of life, and that it cured all illnesses. It also kept the alchemist from growing old, and the solid part was called the philosopher's stone.
"It's not easy to find the philosopher's stone," said the Englishman. "The alchemists spent years in their laboratories observing the fire that purified the metals. They spent so much time close to the fire that gradually they gave up the vanities of the world. They discovered that the purification of the metals had led to a purification of themselves."
The boy thought about the crystal merchant. He had said that it was a good thing for the boy to clean the crystal pieces so that he could free himself from negative thoughts. The boy was becoming more and more convinced that alchemy could be learned in one's daily life.
"Also," said the Englishman, "the philosopher's stone has a fascinating property. A small sliver of the stone can transform large quantities of metal into gold."
Having heard that, the boy came even more interested in alchemy. He thought that, with some patience, he'd be able to transform everything into gold. He read the lives of the various people who had succeeded in doing so: Helvetius, Elias, Fulcanelli, and Geber. They were fascinating stories. Each of them lived out his personal legend to the end. They travelled, spoke with wise men, performed miracles for the incredulous, and owned the philosopher's stone and the elixir of life. But when the boy wanted to learn how to achieve the masterwork, he became completely lost. There were just drawings, coded instructions, and obscure text.